Join us now for Call to Worship, dedicated to presenting the truth of God's Word. Call to Worship is sponsored by Zion Chapel of Holland.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear His voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice.
O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made. I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. The third stanza, and when I think that God, his Son not sparing, sent him to die, I scarce can take it in, that on the cross, my burden gladly bearing, he bled and died to take away my sin.
When Christ shall
reading again from Romans chapter 4, verse 17. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead, and calleth those things which be not as though they were, who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. And therefore, it was imputed to him for righteousness, not for his sake only, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. Let's give thanks for these words. First ones we read were, as it is written, later, which was spoken. We also read the word promise. We have all of that before our eyes or to our ears, all from God to us, from the holy God to unholy people, or as Abraham learned it, the holy God to an ungodly person, which he was and which we are, until we have Christ. And then we have what the last word stated, justification, just as if we had never sinned. Let's give thanks and pray that God will give us a right understanding that we might do what is needed to give him glory. Abram was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Let's pray that we can join him. Our Father, we come to thee through Christ. We acknowledge that alone can we come through him who is that door, who is the way, who is the truth, who is the life, and who is much, much more. We know that with thee, he has been given all power in heaven and on earth. And we pray, Father, that that power might be manifest with this word that we have read, that it may come to us not in word only, but in power, as Paul could write to the Thessalonians, stating that when he had been there, that the word came not in word only, but in power with thy Holy Spirit. And we pray, Father, that as we read of thee and of Christ, we also may know the blessing of the Holy Spirit and the need of the Holy Spirit to take the things of Christ, Lord Jesus, and show them to us. And as we read here, the word imputed, and we know that the blessing of thy death and thy resurrection can only be imputed to us by the work of the Holy Spirit, opening our hearts and making the word come in power and in truth. We pray that that may take place mightily in the church to revive it in truth and revive it in power, that it might again be a salt and a light in every nation, in every church, to each other, in every home. That, Father, we fear that we have been and still may be a salt that have lost its savor, only to be trodden underfoot, which is taking place certainly in our nation and many other nations as well. And we pray that that word again may be blessed, that it will be reverenced in the church and honored, as thou hast said, thou hast exalted thy word above thy name, and thy name is so great, and help us to see it here from these words, all through and because of Christ. We also give thanks for the temporal blessings that we have in nature, that we have that maybe others do not have, the blessings of the springtime, the seed time, and the promise of seed time and harvest that thou hast given. Thou hast been faithful in it, even in our unfaithfulness. We pray, Father, also for the blessings that are needed in the body, for those who are in sickness or injury. We pray for healing for them. We pray above all for faith, that they might look to thee, even those to whom it is not given, that they may know, like Paul was told, my grace is sufficient, that the thorn was not taken from him, the thorn in his body. We pray, Father, for those that will soon meet the undeath, that they might be prepared through Christ for that solemn hour. We pray for those in other needs, the broken homes, the hungry, the homeless, the persecuted, the war-torn lands. We pray for the women that are taken captive by the masters that probably have killed their husbands. They and their children are slaves. We pray for them in that awful condition. We pray, Father, for many others that are suffering from the ravages of flood, fire, wind, earthquake, hurricanes. Again, we give thanks for the blessings that we have, and we pray that the blessings may continue and thy mercies may be, as they have been in faithfulness given, new every morning, all through Christ. Amen. As we look at these words once again today, especially the last part of verse 24, those words on him that raised up Jesus, our Lord, from the dead. We have the blessing here that what Abram had, we would also have if we believe on him. Who is Paul writing of when he says, on him? Last week or the week before, we mentioned Isaiah speaking in Isaiah chapter 6, when he says, I saw the Lord high and lifted up. And he realized he was a man of unclean lips and dwelt in the midst of a people of unclean lips. Why? Because he saw the Lord high and lifted up. And that's what we must do. That's who Paul is writing about when we read on him. Yes, he is writing about what he did, that he raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, but we must not come short of knowing who he is. We read earlier, the 20th verse, that Abram was strong in faith, giving glory to God. I think again of those words that God said to Sarah, is anything too hard for the Lord? Just imagine, one of whom nothing is too hard. All things are possible. What's impossible with man is possible with God. Isaiah, seeing that, writing of it in the 6th chapter of this prophecy of Isaiah, in the year that Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. And above it stood the seraphims, each one with 6 wings, and 20 he covered his face, with 20 he covered his feet, and with 20 he did fly. And one cried to another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. That was the picture of the Lord. And then Isaiah could say, Woe is me! I am undone. I'm a man of unclean lips. I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. We read further in the book of Isaiah, the King of Israel and the Lord of hosts, his Redeemer. So he is speaking probably both of the Father and the Son when he says, I saw the Lord sitting up on the throne, describing him as the Lord of hosts, which we see later is very possibly only the second person. I think sometimes that phrase, the Lord of hosts, may refer to God the Father as well, but many times we see it in a separate way, the Lord of hosts, the Redeemer. And we can see that in Isaiah chapter 44, verse 6, thus saith the Lord, the King of Israel, and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts. Two different ones. The King of Israel and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts. So we know that certainly when the Lord of hosts is spoken, it is the Redeemer. As Christ said when he was here on earth, he and the Father were one. And when one is exalted, the other is exalted, and we must see that together. We can also read in another place of the Lord of hosts as the Redeemer. We read it more than once in the book of Isaiah. We mentioned, I think 2 weeks ago, the words of Job and what he said after all the trials he went through. Then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that thou canst do everything and that no thought can be withholden from thee. Who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge? Therefore have I uttered that which I understood not, and things too wonderful for me which I knew not. Hear, I beseech thee, and I will speak. I will demand of thee, and declare thou unto me. I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. Yes, there are the ways of the Word that tell us plainly of God. There are the ways of His creation that also tell us plainly. As we read in Psalm 19, the heavens declare the glory of God. Even as we have been taught to pray by the Lord Jesus, the end of that prayer, for thine is the kingdom and the glory and the power. Yes, the power, everlasting. All of that is in God's hand, and from God can be given to us, and it should be seen by us to give Him glory, to give Him praise. And when we think of those words that Paul is here writing concerning justification, concerning God's word as it was given to Abraham first, and then telling us here it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on Him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead. And that's not just to believe vaguely that there is a God that did that, but as the Lord Jesus prayed a short time before His death, that this is eternal life, that they might know Thee, the only true God. And I think we could safely say, to know the truth of God as well as the only true God. We must know that. We must know certain things about God before we will be humbled. And we see that not only in Isaiah chapter 6, but we can also see it later. As Isaiah wrote, Isaiah 57, for thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabits eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble, to revive the heart of the contrite. When we think of both Isaiah and Job, we think of them both as seeing God, and then humbled, humbled, humbled. Yes, humbled. We read twice in this verse, Isaiah 57:15, the humble spirit and the humble. Twice that word is used, and twice the word to revive the spirit of the humble, to revive the heart of the contrite ones. Those two things go together. That's where the blessing comes. We might even say, that's where the blessing begins. Yes, there must be a beginning. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. That is the Spirit's work in the beginning, and it begins to show us how great God is, how small we are, how sinful we are. As I learned myself, I'm only a sinner that can only sin. That's all. That's all. Only sin. There's none that doeth good. No, not one. Yes, not as bad as it could be. We compare ourselves with others. One says, I'm better than they, or I'm good. But there is none good in the sight of God. And we must see that. We must see God high and lifted up. And before we will have the blessing of the resurrection, of Christ's resurrection for us, the blessing of justification through it, as we read here. We believe on Him who raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised for our justification. There's things that we have to believe rightly before that happens. Not just some historic happening, not just some vague thing, but we must tremble before the Lord. And again, those words, for thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell with him that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble, to revive the heart of the contrite ones. Contrite, that means repentance. Humbled in repentance, and repenting in humbleness. That must take place. Christ gave warning once and said, except you repent, you shall likewise perish when others had died. And that is what we earned. That's what we deserve. The wages of sin is death. Wages. No other wages for us, you or me. Death, death, death. Only because Christ paid those wages, who died, was delivered for our offenses. Yes, our offenses. Just think of that word there in that last verse of chapter 4, offenses. How many were there? How many did you have? Offenses before God, offenses before men. Not loving our neighbors ourselves, not loving God above all. Coming short, both in sins of omission and commission. Things that we should have done, we didn't do. Things that we should not have done, that's what we did. As Paul could say of himself, even as a child of God, the good I would, I do not, and the evil that I would not, that I do. That's Paul, that's you, that's me. We must be one with them. Would Paul, would Abraham, would David? Not David as an excuse, as I've heard more than one person say. Oh, David did that. If he could go to heaven, so can I. Just as if I'm not worse than him. Maybe you're not worse than him. But you better be better with him and say against thee, that holy God, that God that's high and lifted up, that God before whom Isaiah said, I'm a man of unclean lips. I can't say the right thing. That God before whom astonished and trembled, we must do the same. We must learn with them. And that's why this is given, so we will learn with Abraham. That's the only way we can have the blessing when it says it was not imputed to him only and written for his sake only to whom it was imputed. Yes, it was imputed to Abraham who believed on him who justified the ungodly. It ends with those wonderful words in this chapter. Believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead. Abraham saw that ahead. He saw the day of Christ and was glad. We may believe he saw his death. He saw his resurrection. David saw it and spoke of it. They rejoiced in it. David could say he was glad. I see the Lord always on my right hand and it shall not be moved. They saw that long before, David 1,000 years, and Abraham much longer than that. But we must see him, the only true God. Yes, in Psalm 100 we read, he is the God who made us. We must see him as creator. And that is not seen at all today as it should be. It is not being taught in the schools, not in the seminaries. Evolution is there instead. The lie, the lie, the lie. And remember, all liars go into the lake of fire. And that's a terrible lie. We seem to probably have forgotten that that has been here for those number of years. Other things have come along, other sins, terrible sins, the ways of the wrong marriages, the ways of divorce, the ways of the homosexuals, the lesbians, all who need this blessing of God, who will not have it unless we acknowledge together that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Short of the glory of God. Do we know that? Do we believe on him? Him, the exalted one. Exalted as Isaiah saw him. Exalted as Job saw him. As exalted as others saw him and trembled before him and then rejoiced in him. Not only do we have it in the Bible, we have it also in history. Jonathan Edwards can speak of how he saw himself before God, saw God wonderfully exalted, and gave praise for it. He'd go out in the woods and see that God would show it to him. He probably wasn't even reading the Bible, but he remembered what the Bible had written, and the Holy Spirit was showing it to him. And he could say that his sins were awful, awful, awful. He knew it. Worse than could be described. He knew that he was one with what God says here. Again, from Isaiah, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and holy place, and with him that is of a contrite and humble spirit. The Lord Jesus is on the right hand of the Father, been given a name which is above every name. At the same time, he could say, before he left this earth, Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. He could say, Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will open, I will come in and sup with him and he with me. He could say before he died, If you abide in me and I abide in you, then you can bring forth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. Nothing but the sinner that can do nothing but sin. That's what we are. And we can be reduced to it any time. Peter was, who said he wouldn't deny Christ, though others would. He soon did it in a terrible way. But he went out and wept bitterly. He was one with the others of a contrite heart. That was the blessing of Peter and his sinful ways. He believed on him that raised up the Lord Jesus from the dead. And as we can read in the book of Acts, how the early church gave witness to that and made it known in a wonderful way. And that's what we must do. That's what we must have. We must have it as it is written, as it has been promised, twice here written, verse 17, and how thankful we can be that we have a word that doesn't change, that we have a word that describes him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead. Some people speak today of interfaith with others that do not believe that Christ is the Son of God. One whole nation doesn't believe that the Lord Jesus has yet come. There are exceptions in that nation, but there are very few. The nation as a whole, as I talked to one professor from a seminary, he said Jesus was a good man, but he was not the Messiah. And that's what they believe. So they do not believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead. They do not believe on him who has spoken, and his word has been in those ways fulfilled. The promises have been given, promises have been fulfilled. Abraham believed on him. He staggered not at the promise of God. He knew it was being fulfilled when Sarah became with the child. God was able to perform. Do we believe that God is able to perform a revival now? He can. In our sinful ways, he can leave us over to judgment, and I fear he might. But we can believe it. Christ said, Men ought always to pray and not to faint. And though God bear a long time with him, he will answer him speedily. How we need to pray for such a blessing, again, to revive us. And twice there, from the pen of Isaiah, to revive the humble, to revive the contrite. We must be humbled, we must be contrite, and then there is hope. Hope in God, who raised up the Lord Jesus from the dead.
To God be the glory, great things he hath done. So loved he the world that he gave us his Son.
Thanks for listening to Call to Worship. If you have questions or comments regarding today's program, you can write to Zion Chapel, 937 Royce Avenue, Holland, Michigan, 49423. Or their email address is worship@calltoworship.org. For more information on Call to Worship and its ministry, check out their website, www.calltoworship.org. Listen again next week at this time for Call to Worship.
Praise